Oh, yeah. Mm. God damn, I love this song. It's weird. The story of where this song comes from in my musical oeuvre is really weird. But we'll get into that in just a second because, hey, guess what? He's Clarkson. I'm Jim. Together, we are... The Film Thugs hitting the post like we're supposed to do. All right, man. It's nice to be back. It's nice to be back. So this song was some random download that my old roommate Lee, Smiling Lee Shipman, pulled off of just random online shit. And I found it on some soundtrack like CD that came with some bullshit magazine called Later. It was the Later Lounge.
Wow.
And then years later, I was able to find it online. But like, I had to track down and buy this fucking weird ass CD off of eBay. And it, you know, it costs like $8 or $9.
You're trying to find the film soundtrack from The Keep.
Basically, yeah. Yeah. God, how weird is it to think about the media that we used to search for?
Oh, yeah.
You know, digging through eBay, digging through record crates and all that shit. And now it's like, oh, yeah, just it's all here.
Yeah.
Oh, that song that you were looking for a recording of for so long? Cool. Here's like 6 different versions of it. Like,
yeah, here it is.
It's weird.
It like, takes away the search.
It does.
And that... I can't help feel that we lost something there.
See, well, here's where I feel like we lost it. And the only way that we lost it is we don't have a sorting mechanism that prizes box art. Mm. If there was a way, like Netflix artwork is ass.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's dog balls. It's shit. It's fucking bad. It's bad. It's bad. It's bad. Yep. They should make the images bigger and go with the actual movie poster art. Find the best of the movie poster art and use it.
I agree.
Like, it's terrible. And every network, Amazon is no better. Nobody does good art. No. So, like, searching through shit is really, really hard because it's not like the box art of old gave us a better idea of what we were looking for.
No.
But it gave us more than the nothing we have now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just frustrating, which is why it's sort of gratifying when a movie like Confess Fletch comes along.
Agreed.
Where the artwork is fucking perfect, mm-hmm. even down to the title, the title design.
Yeah, the font.
The font on the title is, if you know the books at all, that's what they look like.
Yeah.
As every single one of them looks like that. And what I love is... It predated the idea of just numbering shit. And so instead of, you know, everything back then would have, you know, it wouldn't be, you know, the Exterminator or the Penetrator number 26. It's the Penetrator Mexican Brown.
Right, right.
Which is a book that is right next to us right now. The right. Penetrator Mexican Brown is real.
Right.
So you'd have these weird titles. But I love that Fletch, it was always shit like Confess Fletch, Fletch whatever. There was always a... somehow short sentence with Fletch in it.
Weren't the Westlake books like that as well? Like the Parker stuff?
Yeah, the Parker stuff was weird because it was like sort of intentionally muddy with its timeline. Like you never were 100% sure where this was happening in his anything. And all of them had like, yeah, there were some that were clearly earlier on, but like they did have... titles, all of them were, and they were all like a Parker novel. Right. So it would be, that was like the overarching title for it was, you know, Slayground, a Parker novel.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that was how those were
and
put together.
As well as I understand, Parker parks the car can be clunky in a novel.
Yes.
It's not, however, in a film.
It isn't, yet it's weird how in the film they felt the need to change it.
I don't understand it. I've never understood it.
Yeah.
In fact, I thought I was making it up.
Yeah.
That I was sitting down to watch a Parker film.
Yeah.
When I watched it to begin with. Like, wait, maybe I read something wrong.
Yeah, this can't be right.
Who's, what?
Jason.
Porter.
Huh? What? Yeah. Yep.
So, yeah.
So it's weird seeing that.
There. I love it.
Especially but, for something that has the cinematic background that it does.
Yep.
That how there has not been a... lower budget Parker films, because Fuck, Parker gets his face changed.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can fucking change actors.
Yeah. Exactly.
People that's, think that's and, what and plastic we missed surgery the
casting,
is.
And he probably would still be alive if Ravishing Rick Rude, when he got his hair cut, were yeah. still with us.
Yeah.
The motherfucker.
Yep.
That's Parker.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mustache. Looking like hell.
Yep.
Legit yep. fighter.
And that's the thing is like Parker, Mel Gibson came close, but Parker.
Attitude wise.
Yeah. Parker is the John McClane
mm.
of. Yeah. The bad guys, he always is, he's just Wile E. Coyote. He yeah. always looks beat to shit.
Yeah.
They tried to do it with Mel Gibson, but it's fucking Mel Gibson. I mean, what the...
Yeah, yeah.
What the fuck are you going to do?
It's not the same.
I do the attitude early on in that movie of him fucking stealing the wallet,
buying all that coffee. Shit,
fucking staking coffee, taking the 2 cents back, move it like, fuck.
Yeah, yeah, it's great.
That guy's a piece of shit.
The director's cut is even better.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's
less shit that goes down with his ex-wife. It's like, oh.
Yeah. Oof.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's him.
Yeah, yeah that's
yeah.
him.
Yeah, that's this yeah. guy. He well, is.
Audiences aren't supposed to like him.
Yeah, the fucking poster says, root for the bad guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what I love is how Fletch is not the good guy. He's the good guy, but he's not because he's Solo-esque.
He's the epitome of the following.
Yes.
He's a card.
Yeah, he is.
He's a real card. It's not a CAD.
Uh-huh.
He's a card.
It's a card. And what I love is how even at the end it was, you didn't do shit, dude. Right, like, right. like,
yeah.
Sorry, you didn't That's, really do
it.
Yeah.
I have, in full confession, I haven't read any of the Fletch books.
Right, right.
So, but the end of... Confess Fletch, which we'll get to.
Yes.
Feels more like it probably was in the books.
Yeah, yeah.
More yes. than, say, Fletch with Chevy Chase, where he actually does solve everything.
Right.
Puts it all together.
Uh-huh.
He's the hero. Whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'll say this, of course. I've watched Fletch with Chevy Chase
yeah.
about 4,000 fucking times.
Yeah,
in fact, yes. when I moved out of a roommate situation in the early 2000s, I moved to San Marcos right off the square.
Uh-huh.
I didn't have cable, and I didn't think I was going to get cable
right.
anytime soon because I didn't plan on being there very long. I wasn't. Right.
Yeah,
I just
yeah.
had all my DVDs.
Yes.
And for whatever reason, I had put Fletch on one night,
yeah.
watched it, and then was too lazy to get up and change it.
Yeah.
Just, so I just okay. watched Fletch and Barfly.
Nice.
Over and over again.
It's an odd combo, but sure.
Well, makes one's sense. Happy and one's
yeah.
sad.
Yeah.
That makes total sense when you think right. about my headspace.
It then, really does.
I yeah. feel fine, Fletch. It I does. Feel like me.
Yeah.
Barfly.
Yeah.
So those two yeah. things went back and forth. And randomly, I had like some MST3K box sets. And
right.
I put that on.
Right. See, Fletch, to me, the early one, that is very much, again, that is Chevy Chase's Fletch.
It, like I told you downstairs when yeah. we watched this Confess Fletch, mm. it's the only Chevy Chase vehicle other than vacation movies.
Right.
Which, yeah. on, those are fine.
Separate thing, yeah.
Where he is essentially the one and only star.
Yeah.
The prime mover and driver of the entire film.
Uh-huh.
And that's about it
yeah.
that I celebrate that's a real Chevy Chase.
Yeah, it fan. Is a Chevy Chase vehicle. Even Fletch Lives.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's not even the same.
And not, yeah, but they're both solely
Chevy Chase.
Chevy Chase. Even yeah. having Cleavon Little, though cool,
yeah, that it's is not a the same.
Chevy
and
Chase that, engine.
And you've got to get those ratios just right
mm-hmm.
because mm-hmm. the difference between Fletch 1 and Fletch Lives is huge.
Yeah,
people
yeah.
will defend Fletch Lives as fine. Yeah, yeah. I agree. It's fine.
Yeah.
Fletch and, itself is yeah. fucking gold.
Yeah, and it's if you look at the books, same fucking thing. It's the same it's going to be with most series where right. it's like, yeah, it's good. It's got the character I like doing the character I like shit. In
right.
that way, I like it. It's awesome. But it is not what got me into this.
Right, right, right.
And I feel like what Hamtal did here
right.
is going to be duplicatable.
Oh, I agree.
More so than Chevy's because Fletch 1 is fucking lightning in a bottle.
Absolutely.
On point. That's Absolutely. A movie that's so good at what it is. That I don't think it can be duplicated.
No, clearly.
Yeah.
It clearly can't.
It can't.
It was tried to be, and it didn't work.
Yep. And you just had to have that lack of everything going into it. Just, yeah, maybe it'll work. Let's see.
Yeah, and it works out in like a hopscotch level.
Yeah, like, exactly.
What? How did this all pan? I mean, first of all, editor like a motherfucker.
Yes.
Is the hero of Fletch.
Oh, hell yeah.
But at the end of the day, the ratio of Chevy to script to story was all right. It's all correct.
Exactly. Yes. Yes.
But it's not, from my understanding, a true Fletch story.
Right.
It has the elements of him solving a crime.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or uncovering a bigger crime in that case. But really, it's just a vehicle for Chevy to be Chevy.
Yeah. But it does fit in that if you look at it, it's Chevy. It's that old film noir of a woman pulls him into this bullshit world where, and it's, so in that way, it does structurally, it's dead on. And if it's funny, if you think about it, his editor in the Chevy Chase one, that's the same character as John.
Yes. Larry. And there was a Larry that worked at the Boston.
Uh-huh.
The chick was named Larry.
Yeah. Okay.
But it's not Gina Dave, obviously.
Right, right.
Like in the first movie, where he's working in L.A., his editor and Larry all work in L.A. with him.
Yeah, yeah.
In this, in Confess Fletch, Larry is just Larry,
mentioned
once, but his editor used to be in L.A. and is now in Boston.
Yeah, yeah. Who played the editor in, remember?
He's a character actor. I can see his face.
Okay.
But I don't remember his name at all.
No worries. No worries.
But he was in 1,000 goddamn things back then.
Right.
And he's the same nervous prick in that movie that he is in this one.
Okay, nice. Yeah, and it fits. That's what it has to be.
Begrudgingly likes Fletch because he gets results.
Exactly. Yeah, that's like, Fletch is one of those people where it's like, he at the end of the day is sort of tolerated.
Yeah, because he can deliver.
What he does works. So it's like, we put up with the shit because, and Larry was played by, oh man, the first name, that Walker, Richard Libertini.
Okay.
Yeah, wait, Walker. No. I'm not looking for Walker. Dr. Dolan.
Frank. I'm looking for Frank.
Frank?
Yeah, Frank is the editor.
Frank is the editor. Okay, so let's see. Where the fuck is Frank? Fat Sam, Janelle, Larry, Speaker, Gillette, Detective. This is quality. Kareem played himself. Damn, why is he not showing up here? Fletch, hold on, let's see here. Walker. Is he like a big sort of tall bald guy?
Yes.
Yeah, that's okay, yeah. Richard Libertini then.
Yeah.
So that guy?
Yes.
Yes. That's okay, right. Yeah. Richard Libertini. Yeah, that was a motherfucker who was in all of it. He was in Popeye.
Yeah. Yes.
He was in fucking everything back in the day.
Yes.
So yeah, this fits, I think, better for what they're really going for.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, Fletch is one of those just determinedly competent guys who doesn't fucking care.
Yeah, and that is the thing that I think they looked at the spirit of the story of the books themselves and the first movie.
Yeah.
And they're smart not to divorce themselves completely from what made Fletch Fletch in the first film.
Well, because Chevy was perfect for it because Fletch is that carefree.
He's completely carefree. He's completely at ease.
Uh-huh.
I had a working theory as to why Chevy got the role he got because of apparently a film that's canon to me.
Yeah.
Seems Like Old Times.
Yeah.
The writer that he plays in that gets kidnapped and forced to rob a bank.
Uh-huh.
And the whole time that he's kidnapped and forced to rob a bank, he is just calm.
Yeah.
He's just like, completely calm. These fucking guys
do not know what they're doing.
And
I'm just
going to do this.
Let's get this out of the way.
And whatever. And whomever was casting Fletch was like, we need Chevy Chase.
Yeah, this works.
And it worked.
It really did. Because
that carries over into John Hamm's performance. Because John Hamm is by no means...
No.
Not at all doing a Chevy Chase thing in the slightest.
Not in the slightest. Then it's great.
It's great because it's funny, but he's not shticky.
Nope. Yeah.
But all of them, it's really something, actually.
Mm-hmm.
You think about the tall ask of anyone, you know, marketing a Fletch movie that's been in development in one way or another since forever.
For decades.
So being able to get a guy that talented that can put the English on it just right.
Yep.
It's really something.
Because it is. It's one of those delicate balances. There aren't a lot of people like Downey Jr. Could pull it off if he were. But it'd have to be the restrained.
Very Downey restrained. Jr. Very restrained.
Nick Cage, because he's Nick Cage.
Yeah, of course.
You know, Kurt Russell could have done it because he's Kurt Russell. But other than that, not a lot of people could pull.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know who could have done it.
Yeah.
I mean,
even then, this is it's just the most perfect bit of casting nowadays
for
it. It's
really something.
Because you see it. It's, I'm easy to fall in love with. He's a fucking Labrador.
Yes.
And that, I think, is the best way to describe it. He's just like this good-natured, like Labradoodle, because he's really smart. And just
and actually, that works more with John Hamm, because he's naturally sexier than Chevy fucking Chase.
He is.
That's the only thing that's not quite believable in Fletch 1 is just...
At that point, Chevy's forehead was getting bigger.
I'm like,
you know, not really there.
I mean, tall goes a long way.
It does, but
I don't know if it goes that far.
But, you know, remember, Ham tall.
Ham tall, however. That's a difference. That's a horse of a different color.
I maintain it's a logical thing to have thought, but it, but here's the thing. No, it's a difficult ask across the board to get that goofiness and... Because Fletch does he's good at what he does, but he does look dumb a lot of the times.
Yeah.
Like, what was your name? What did I tell you?
That was great.
Did you just ask me your name? Because that was, like, for all of the Chevy Chase, that was very
80s. My name's Igor Stravinsky, and he can totally pull out some weird ass.
Yeah. Whatever. And I love that he just throws some shit out and forget, like, fuck, I have, okay, bye.
Yeah. Yeah. They even kind of do things like I was an investigative in this film. He's retired from his investigative reporting, but, you know, he just can't help but investigate.
Yeah.
And he says I was of some repute back in the day.
Yeah.
It's almost a nod back to that case from Fletch 1, although it was something else. But he keeps saying I was this, I was that, which allows the super Fletch fans like me to go, okay.
And the book fans to be like, oh, okay, yeah, because yes, you were.
Right, right.
Oh, yeah, you were.
Because that's my point. That was the original point of making a big ask is, okay, you have a certain number of people that want to see it because of the books.
Yeah.
But movie speaking, you have an entire generation raised by that movie, cult though it may be, that is like, okay, goddammit.
Yeah.
Because I did. Yeah. When I heard this was happening, I'm like, oh, shit. What now?
Shit. Yeah.
What are they doing?
And then you see it land.
And it landed like a motherfucker. I thought it was going to be okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it'll be fine.
Yeah. No, it nailed.
It's really good.
It's a very, it's one of those movies that, like, again, for even if you don't have knowledge of any of it,
no, you don't need
easy to fucking walk in. And what I love is sequels, they can go prequel, sequel. There's any, the books didn't really even follow a chronological order, you know, those styles where it's like, yes, there's a general chronology to it, but every once in a while they'd be like, hey, here's a young Irwin Fletcher.
Right, right.
Like, okay, cool.
Oh, that's what that was a track they were going to take earlier on when Jason Lee was attached. Wasn't
it? Yeah. Yeah. That
Kevin
was,
Smith, all that back in the 90s.
That could have been interesting, but I'm not going to.
I don't know.
I'm not going to say I'm super glad it didn't happen.
I'm super glad it didn't happen.
Yeah.
Because I like this.
I take back what I said. I'm super glad
it didn't. For multiple reasons. I like how they did this. I like that it's a... Sorry, this is just the movie landscape these days. It's a fucking movie for adults.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Because no one... There are no bombs. There are no powers. There are no special effects. It's just a fucking
It's a low, mid-budget, like... Go out and tell a story.
Yes.
Yeah, tell a story for grown-ups.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't have to be grown up to enjoy this.
Yeah,
but
at all.
It's clearly like, these are people not in their 20s.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Fletch is not some, you know, it's not fucking Jared Leto.
No.
Irwin R. Fletcher.
Yeah.
Sexy man alive. No.
Yeah.
It's fucking Ham.
Yeah.
Who can be, but he doesn't lean on his his Mad Men stuff.
Yeah.
He's kind of schlubby, and there's Lakers hat, shirt's always untucked.
Yep.
White goddamn New Balance. God help us all.
Yep.
But got to follow, right?
Exactly. And it fits.
And it fits.
It's
it
perfect
works.
For
it
who
works.
He is, and he's nailing it. I think it's a perfect show of what he can really do.
Yeah,
and
they could make more movies, or they could not.
Yeah.
Because they wrapped it up.
Exactly.
If this never happens again, and probably won't.
Probably won't, yeah.
Fine. We wrapped it up.
It'd be fun as hell to see some more.
I would be there this time.
Oh, hell yeah.
I'm a little upset I didn't see it in the theater now.
Yeah, and that's like the most you can ask for with this kind of thing is be
two
like...
Two days? You bet your ass.
I'd be okay with another one. And if they don't, that's fine too.
Yeah.
I just, it's I think you put it perfectly. It's nice to have a movie that's meant for grown-ups. Like, that's why I think Knives Out have been so much fun is that they are... clearly aimed at adults, and they're fun.
Yeah.
Have you seen Glass Onion yet?
No, I haven't. Only Knives Out.
I think you'll love it. It's great. It's funny as hell. It's fucking Edward Norton as this amalgam of wannabe rich influencer dudes.
Perfect.
It's so great. When they first meet him, he's wearing brown shirt, black vest, has his hair kind of straight, except it's pulled back in the middle.
Oh.
And it is immediately, oh my God, you're Tom Cruise in Magnolia.
Right, right.
Oh my God, that's who you're trying to, fuck. Yeah, it's really good. I think you'll enjoy the shit out of it because it's fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is one of those movies that it's not more than it needs to be.
No, it is... It's never too high. It's never too low. It's all the same. It's not the same note.
No,
it's all the same tone.
Yes.
The only it's a serious subject, obviously.
Yeah.
But he is the only thing that goes up and down.
Yes.
His comedy notes are there, but they're not as much as Chevy.
Right.
They lean so much into at least the marketing of Fletch One with. A Man of a Thousand Faces. That wasn't on the map, but they lean to it. Poster art being all these different IDs.
Yep. Yep.
The trailer that I watched 1,000 times because it was on the DVD was, you don't know who. Let me, who's Fletch? Fletch is this. And it would be one character. Fletch is this.
And then he's playing for the Lakers.
And you're like, what?
Yeah.
They really leaned on all of that,
putting
Chevy Chase in different costumes, and that's how he gets around this.
Uh-huh.
And some to greater effect. However, his greatest... costume in Fletch One is when he goes to interview the airplane, the father of Stanwyck's wife, Stanwyck's father-in-law.
Yeah.
And he's wearing glasses. He's got the little tape over his nose and he's there from the FAA.
Mm-hmm.
God, I admire you. It's just glasses.
Yeah.
And the only costume that John Hamm uses as Fletch in this is a pair of glasses.
Yep. Because that's all he'd have on
it. I got it, guys.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I saw it and was like, he had glasses in his shirt going to that lady's house.
Like,
hey, now.
Is he going to put, oh, and there it is.
Yeah, it's great. It was a great, like, nod to the hardcore Fletch fans.
Yeah, yeah.
They're, at the end, we're like, I was already prepared to commit one murder.
Yeah.
Like, that's a direct line from the first one.
Yep.
But not too much, is my point.
Yeah, it's
just
that's
like,
true.
Here's this, and here's a little of that. Enough to make you go, enough to be wistful, but not comparative.
Right.
And that's hard to do.
Well, and what I love about it, too, that it fits is the Fletch books always have sort of a big what the fuck at the end.
Yeah.
And what I love with the end of this was the, first off, they thought that you were getting set up with just the van.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Indifferent. But then when Picardo shows up, the dad, and it's like, oh, wait. So the entire circumstance that put you into this situation to begin with was you running a scam on his family with him.
Yes.
That is the books. That is absolutely the books. And it's like, oh, shit. So wait, Fletch was two steps ahead of everyone.
Yes.
I was using all of you so that I could get hold of these. And that's the beauty of it is it's sort of like fucking kiss, kiss, bang, bang. Mm. There's always two cases. One that's nothing there. And you forget entirely, like sitting there at the end. Well, what the fuck about the kidnapped man?
Right, right.
With like, are we forgetting about the abduct? Oh. That was you and your buddy running again. God damn.
Perfect.
It's perfect. It's the book. It's that type of book. Mm. It is that men's paperback adventure shit.
Right,
it's like, but it was just detective, not adventure. And it's always about the guy being smarter and somehow one step ahead.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
And at every step, he is one step ahead.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, down to the van.
Yep.
You're like, what the fuck is going on with this van now?
And that's one of those where you know, like, it was going to be important later on, where it's like something about having it painted is going to matter.
Yeah, you know, something's going to matter. You just can't.
You're not sure what it's going to be.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
It was brilliant because it's.
And he just slides out. He's, is the reveal at the end. And his bag's already packed. And while they're arguing in Italian, I'm out.
I'm out the door. It's kind of like the end of the, is it Heist, the Gene Hackman one, where he's, you know, we watch him hide the gold. We watch it. There's that fucking black paint. And then he scrapes.
I fucking love that movie.
It's so well done.
God, it is good.
Yep.
It despite the fact that it didn't have more Lindo.
Yeah. But, yeah. That's fucking good.
That's a good one, man.
Yeah. Yep.
It's one of those. Well, I remember it coming out. They're like, this is called Heist. I'm like, okay.
Okay, we're just.
All right, now.
It's just
like, I'm going to name my fucking bistro Salt.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's do this here.
You better really fucking show. Oh, you did, didn't you?
Oh, Jesus.
Jesus Christ.
You,
all right,
you put something
my
in
bad.
Here.
My bad.
Well, well played, sir. Well played.
James Caan is in Thief. All right. Well,
okay, motherfucker, whatever.
Oh, no, never mind.
Edward Norton, Marlon Brando, and Robert De Niro are in The Score.
Oh.
Okay. I mean, yeah, they did. Yes. It's like, have you seen The Hot Rock?
No.
So it's where Robert Redford plays this crew where they steal this diamond, but then in the theft of the diamond, it ends up getting in evidence at the police station. So they then have to pull off a heist at the police station, and then in that, it ends up somewhere else, and they have to pull. So it's a movie where they're just off the fucking cuff having to do two more heists.
Oh,
like,
perfect.
Fuck. Okay, so what do we do? And it's Robert Redford in the 70s, so it's like, I've got this figured out, I'm sure, but.
Yeah. Yeah, speaking of weird synchronicity with bringing up Redford, the tone of this reminds me of Sneakers.
Yes, it has that kind of vibe to it.
Just so.
Yeah.
That was a lovely meal, wasn't it?
Yeah, just, it was just enough.
Yeah.
At every stand.
I ate just enough.
Yeah.
I feel just fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's fucking hard to do.
It really is. It
and
really
a shame
is.
It didn't make more money in the theater. I knew it wouldn't.
Right.
Because someone's not flying.
Yeah. When they're, those movies that hit for the mid-range, it's like fuck, dude.
Like in the middle, it reminded me when I brought up movies for adults. It's a lot like when I was a kid and I wanted to see all this slam bang action, whatever.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, there's a trailer for Legal Eagles.
Yeah.
You're like, who the fuck wants to watch that?
Adults,
kid.
Yeah.
That's why. And who watched in the theater between two adults?
Yeah.
Me.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
You know? And they work.
Yeah.
Because they're not for you, fucker.
Exactly. Yeah, and there used to be that model, but then somewhere along the line, it was like, no, it's got to be four quadrant. Young, old, male, female.
Right.
Okay, cool. So when you say four quadrant, what you mean is primarily young male.
Yeah.
And hopefully older male, because young male pulls in older female and their parents, older male and their parents. Right. Like it's,
Of course. It's the fucking WWE model.
Yeah, yeah. That's why I love every time that Hollywood gets proved wrong with some shit. Like with Barbie, I love the success of Barbie because it is, women will watch shit if you make thoughtful shit for women to watch.
Oddly. If you make a good movie.
Yeah. Yeah, with a targeted female audience.
It will work in a way that Ghostbusters with all women will not work
exactly
as well.
Yeah, but the lesson they're going to get from it is already been proven because Polly Pocket's been greenlit somewhere.
Go.
Like,
of course.
Cool, well, this is going to suck. Don't do interesting stuff. Because Barbie, there is an interesting idea there.
It's incredibly interesting.
It's fucking fascinating, this doll that has existed forever.
Right.
With a male fucking... A diverse fucking male accessory.
Yeah, it's great.
And just,
I have no problem. I don't know. I didn't understand the problem then.
Yeah.
Once I fully understood the issue, I still didn't understand
exactly.
It. And all I know is between that and Oppenheimer on the same weekend, it gave me a little hope.
Yeah.
For mankind.
It was pretty great.
Yeah.
And that everyone was into both of them.
Yeah. Like, look at you.
Fucking
speaking of a fucking movie for adults.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fucking Oppenheimer. Granted.
Yeah.
Heavier subject.
Yeah.
Much higher caliber everything.
Yet. Have you seen it?
No, I haven't seen it either.
We should figure that out at some point.
Fucking Nolan being
Nolan.
So,
like being all of the Nolan.
Apparently. And finally, my boy getting the fucking love
that
Cillian Murphy deserves.
Yep.
Like, yep. No. He's a lot more than just what you've been putting in.
He's real fucking good.
He's real fucking good.
Yeah.
Knew that with Red Eye.
What I love is how Ryan Gosling is just like, his Saturday Night Live was fucking brilliant. He is one of those dudes that I knew was good, but with Barbie, I'm up for it.
Oh, no, Ryan Gosling is incredibly talented.
Let's fucking make this happen. And it's sort of like when you heard about Seth Green, when I heard about Seth Green on Austin Powers, all the people are like, yeah, we thought it'd be some kid, but not some kid coming in, whatever, but that dude came to play.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
He
yeah.
brought it.
For and, sure.
You know, Parker Posey in Waiting for Guffman, just like, well, oh, shit.
Fuck.
I love seeing people who just surprise you with, well,
yeah, and then you get to latch on to someone and say, I want to follow them.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it's fucking great to see. And John Hamm is moving into that area because I love the interesting shit he's doing that you can tell he's picking good folks to work with.
Yeah.
His chemistry with Slattery is fucking brilliant.
It's great.
I love that.
It's great. Everybody works really well as a every person cast does a very good job. There's not one that's just like, oh, well, they're just here.
Yeah.
Everybody.
They landed
And everyone's up to the challenge to meet. He's not running roughshod over the rest of characters like Fletch won.
Yes. Uh-huh. That was always such a necessary part of 80s movies is everyone else had to be a fool.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was weird.
That's sort of victim of the times.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was so much. That was absolutely of the times.
Yeah. That's what it was on the page. So how can they, you know. Even then, they cast people that they could have cast. They didn't have to cast Joe Don Baker.
They didn't.
But
yeah,
thank God they did. Yeah. They didn't have to cast, what's his name, from Animal House.
Uh-huh.
But
Matheson was so,
But he's great.
They did. Yeah. Everyone did fantastic.
Yeah. And it's the same thing here.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to gather together all these elements. I don't need super big names in all these other roles.
No.
I just need someone that can handle up or stand up to Hamm.
Yeah.
Hamm's performance.
To Hamm tall.
To Hamm tall.
Yeah.
Be tall to Hamm.
McLaughlin was... Man, Kyle McLaughlin's one of those that I didn't see it coming.
Yeah.
But should have.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He is so good in everything.
Yes.
I don't know if there's any part he's ever played that I'll ever...
Portlandia?
Might guess this, the mayor of Portland.
Absolutely.
The mayor of Portland is the... Like, that is why that man was put on Earth.
Absolutely. It's so good. It almost makes me not be able to see him other than...
Yeah.
Because he showed... I didn't realize he was this movie.
Yeah.
And I checked him immediately like, oh, no.
Uh-huh.
And then I have to like train my brain to go, no, he's this character.
He's this guy.
But then he's dancing to EDM in the window and like, oh, no, that's kind of what the mayor of Portland would do.
His mayor of Austin was one of my... It's kind of a neighborhood that has an intimidating cat. Yep. Yeah, that's fucking good.
God damn, that show is so fucking good.
It really is on point. And he's just one of those actors that anything you put him in is just... Honestly, my favorite shit with him, though, is still Cup of Joe, Side of Dough, where it was like, no, not there. Here. This is where we were meeting. Like, come on, they got a great special for you here. I think I'm going to get the Cup of Joe, Side of Dough. Fuck, dude. And it makes sense because that is the dude who's really into the town. He's like, no, we're not going to the fancy new place. No, we're going here.
Right, yeah.
We're going to the shitty one.
Yes.
Yeah, why wouldn't you want to go here?
I think you're late for brunch.
Yeah, why wouldn't you want to go to Starseeds back when it was Starseeds, you know?
Yeah, no, thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Spider's Coffee House.
Yeah. Oh, dude. There's so many of those places in that area that you're God. Fuck.
Who knew? I didn't know I had a chance at this. I opened my own goddamn coffee house.
What I love about Austin, what Austin used to be at least.
Quacking Bushes?
Oh, fucking Quacks. Oh, hell yeah. Oh, hell yeah. No, man. Shit. No,
blew your mind with Quacks?
Yeah, fuck. I went to Kirby Lane once. I had to pick something up just to order to go omelet. And the guy from Fastball, one of the dudes from Fastball, they had like a big show that night, was there on the wait list, just sitting there waiting.
And,
and it was hilarious because there was a thing where Bert Kreischer was talking about going to a restaurant with Joe Rogan after it had closed. And like, come on, I'm here with this guy. Like, bitch, this is Austin.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
No.
Oh, is Joe Rogan cool? Well, he should have been here when we were open, huh?
Yeah, really?
Yeah. This dude is fucking top of the fucking Billboard shit. He's waiting for a table at a cafe with people who were just at his fucking concert.
That's right.
Most of the people there are like, I watched a girl try to steal the fucking sign-in sheet because he had put himself, he tried to steal the wait list.
No.
Because he put his fucking name on it.
No.
Like, Jesus, it's, yes. Yeah.
That's Kirby Lane.
Yeah, that's Kirby Lane.
If you
want
to try to sit down for a Magnolia.
Oh, fuck.
Good fucking luck.
Yeah.
Only locals know exactly when.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
I had it down to a science.
Yep. I still remember, man, Magnolia on 6th over Lake Austin. Where,
oh,
God. That was always my fucking pull. Oh, I loved that place. You had to know it.
Yeah.
Right? You had to fucking know that area, dude. Mm-hmm. And if I had known about G&H right across the fucking street back in the day.
Yep.
Can you imagine, like, wait, so we could just go fucking drink and shit at G&H and just walk across it? Walk?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go.
Don't
do
go
that.
Too far. There's police annex.
Yeah, yeah. Be careful with it. Yeah. Oh, dude. But yeah, that's like, it's weird when you get into just the general comfort idea of shit. Of a, like, this is one that fits that. This movie.
It's just comfy.
Yeah. And it's by the numbers because it's from books that, sorry, Gregory MacDonald. Yes, I'm certain you're a very clever man. You did not come up with that many fully original, completely differentiatable plots.
No, I don't, you don't have to.
You don't have to. You just have to be able to twist them around enough. I mean,
the graveyard is littered with movies trying to be something they aren't or trying to be a little bit more.
Yeah.
Or some coked out executive with a ponytail thinking, no, but they'll never see this coming.
Yeah.
Like, there's a reason.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't.
Yeah. Not everything has to be unusual or different.
No,
sometimes it just is.
No. Don't let the your misunderstood idea of independent cinema in the late 90s color your entire goddamn world.
Yeah.
And no, you can't do Reservoir Dogs again.
No, you can't.
You can't do that.
No, it's not there anymore because it's already been done.
Yeah, down to death now.
What you have to do is what Quentin did. Find the thing that hasn't been done.
Correct.
And it's like, that's something that my one piece of advice when a kid comes to me, like, I want to do a podcast, but I'm not sure what I want it to be. Mm-hmm. I say, okay, listen to podcasts that are out there. You do? Okay, cool. What's missing?
Exactly.
What's missing? What don't they have?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, do that.
Yeah.
That's it.
That.
That's literally it.
And see it is, because my people ask me that too, that no, I do this.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, I guess you can ask me, but all right. First of all, just do it, whatever you're into. Make sure you're into whatever you're doing.
Yeah.
But just find something that's not out there yet.
Yeah.
And I'm always surprised. Welcome to Podcast Talk at the end of Confess Fletch.
Yes.
When somebody has an idea that's so simple, perfect.
Yeah.
I don't know who came up with it first, but there's a show called The Watcher.
Yeah.
About Buffy.
Uh-huh.
She and one friend that doesn't watch or never watched it, and I think one super fan. I think that's the element, the chemistry.
Okay.
And they watch every episode, and they just go through the entire episode and talk about it. First of all, great fucking name.
Yeah.
For a concept like
hell
that.
Yeah.
It's a great fucking name.
Absolutely, yeah.
And it's that simple. It's not something I listen to all the time.
Uh-huh.
But it's the concept is sound as fuck.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, wait a minute. Has anyone done that?
Yeah.
That's genius.
It's like, did I ever tell you about the Michael Ian Black podcast Obscure?
Mm-mm.
Where he was like, he said, I am going to pick different books from the Western canon of classical literature that you've heard about but you've never read, and I'm just going to read a chapter a week, and I'm going to start with Jude the Obscure.
Love it.
And that, because he was like, the bar for entry into podcasts is so low that it, like, if you own a phone, you can, that's all you need.
Oh yeah, yeah,
that's especially literally now, all you need
now. You, yes,
yeah, it's, if all that now pans out is if you've got the idea,
right?
And what can it be? And so that's right. What I say, what's not there, try it out.
The fucking landscape, the forever fucking valley of wrestling podcasts.
Exactly.
The only thing I ever think about is wrestling books.
Yeah.
I'll read wrestling books.
Yeah. Why not?
That would do that. Why it's referenced all the time.
Yeah.
Plenty of shows that read from them.
Yeah.
No. This season
yeah.
will be
this
Being
book.
The Man by Ric Flair.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Beginning to end.
Yes.
And paywall episodes for wrestling cookbooks.
Yeah. Oh my God, dude. Yes.
Right?
That's all it has to be.
Fucking patent pending, you cocksuckers.
Fucking A.
You think you can do it.
Yeah.
But you don't have the stomach to read the entire book.
It's hard. And that's the thing that people don't realize is that then there is that point where it gets weirdly difficult of how the fuck do we make this work?
That's the thing.
Yeah.
That's where you don't, that's where everything fucking loses steam.
Yep.
When you have to show up and just do it. Yep. I know that's fucking rich coming from somebody who hadn't been doing this for a while.
Exactly.
But trust me, I had a really good reason and I wasn't in the hospital this time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Very good reason.
That's where I'll leave it.
But what I will say is, too, remember when we started this, all that it was, I think it might have even been a work laptop.
It was a work laptop.
Yeah. It was my fucking work laptop.
A blue snowball fucking on a...
Fucking on top of a fucking ice bucket.
Ice bucket, yeah.
Yeah. And that was it. And then one day we figured out how to do it a little better. We fucked up a handful of episodes along the way trying.
God knows.
But then one day we got it and...
That's my point.
Yeah.
Even when we figured out our shit.
Yeah.
At a certain point, like in the middle of, like, remember deep in the Criterion?
Oh, yeah.
Years?
Yep. Yep.
Was like,
ugh. Fuck, this sucks.
And we could have easily just said, you know what? Fuck it, dude.
Yeah.
Let's not do it today. But we did.
Yeah.
Every fucking week.
Yep. And then James Bond hit.
And then James Bond blew us up.
Yeah. We couldn't do it. We couldn't.
I think we could have, but we did it right on the heels of Criterion.
Yeah, we did it right. Yeah.
We should have taken a long break after
Criterion.
And then tried that.
Yeah, our eyes were bigger than our stomachs. And to Criterion, that was too fucking much.
And particularly, it also ruined our palate, or at least ruined mine.
Yes.
Because I was going from filet mignon to fucking Thunderball.
Yeah. What the fuck? Yeah, because, oh my God.
Okay, it's like, oh, we just watched The Bicycle Thieves. No, we're going to watch fucking Steel Dawn.
Yeah.
For the snake to eat its tail to our behind the paywall conversation.
It is like such an odd...
that movie you may enjoy that movie.
Yeah.
But it's not necessarily good.
Yeah, and we had just done a solid, like, 2 years, because I had a bunch of fucking Criterions.
Yeah, you're learning about fucking Ikiru, and then you're like, okay, this is a guy in a submarine.
Yeah, this is an underwater action scene.
Jesus fucking Christ.
And then it's just like, can we watch that? I want to watch that guy dying of cancer again.
Yeah, can we
watch
it?
Can we watch another? Has Akira Kurosawa done another procedural? We might need to check that out because, goddamn,
I've become a junkie for Cassavetes, fucking Kurosawa.
Yeah,
I am that asshole at Quacks.
Yeah, now. I love him now because, goddamn, this is the imagine like button hits and you wake up tomorrow morning and you're starting middle school.
No. Yes.
First off, fuck, how different everything would be. Because at the point before you've bought anything, you are buying your first albums now. How entirely different your media consumption would be and how much freak people out. Oh my
God. Totally freak people out.
Like, completely. Just what?
Let's spin some Alan Parsons at our next kegger.
Yeah. What? No. Or it's that weird shit where it's like, hold on, wait, it's this date, 1980. Raining Blood's coming out when?
Yeah, 84.
Oh, shit. Like, just if you were able to hit those things where it's like, hold on, wait, that's on TV?
Yeah.
Oh, shit, we've got to watch this.
Right.
Like, how totally different all of it would be. But then the, what's it called? The books, all that shit. Just how differently you would interact with all of it. Because now the number of... And I think Criterion fucked me up, too.
I could switch it off.
But, yeah.
And you can, but you need to come down on it.
Yes.
It was...
Yeah. Because there was a while where...
For a while there, we were a serious movie podcast.
We really fucking were. It's like, all right, we're now going to go into the entire Francois Truffaut series of films about Antoine.
Talk an hour and a half, about 8.5.
Yeah.
Fuck.
All right, what's up next? Ooh, La Haine.
Right.
Oh, shit. Okay, cool.
Battle of Algiers. Discuss. Yes.
Ivan's childhood.
Jesus.
Oh.
Oh, my God. I don't know how the fuck we did that.
Like, what the
fuck is going on here? That's my point.
That's
the work.
Yeah.
And a lot of podcasts will stop because it turns into work.
Exactly.
And
it does. It does. Yep.
No matter how fun it is with someone you have chemistry with.
Yeah.
God help that you do have chemistry.
Exactly.
With that
person,
because that's the only thing that's going to get you through.
Because what starts out is, and this is the way it is, everyone starts, they do their first one, and then they hit stop, and then everyone says the same thing. You guys want to try another one?
Right.
It is every time. That is just what happens. Mm. First night we recorded, we did like 4 episodes.
Oh, yeah.
And, we were, and our normal was what? 2 or 3? I think we were doing 3 at a bunch for a while.
We started off too hard.
Yeah.
And then we settled on 2 to 3.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's crazy.
We always, sitting down and doing 2 to 3 shows in a night. Because we had nothing the fuck else to do, and those early ones, good, but first off, did you guys just discover curse words? Especially me.
Well, I didn't say anything. I work in construction.
Yeah, yeah. And it was just drinking and making lists.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The drinking hurt.
Yeah, yeah.
Hurt really, the color. I'm really sure it's did. Fun for a niche market.
Yeah.
Speaking of niche.
Oh, God,
what are people not doing? Incoherent podcasting?
Yeah, incoherent, rambling, drunken podcast.
That's what they're doing. No one wants it, but we filled that niche for a while.
Yeah, we did. And it's one that you look back on and you go, oh.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why people don't like being around
drunks. I know.
Oh, man.
I did that podcast with some other people, and they're like, oh, we should go to brunch. And then I'm like, no.
No, 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 no,
and
no.
And they looked at me like, that's a fucking killjoy. I'm like, look, I'm not saying it's not a fun idea.
Yeah.
I know it's fun.
It's the most fun idea you've ever had.
It's a fucking blast.
It is
a matter
so
of
much fun.
It's so fun.
Yeah.
And you get it done. We'll probably listen to it back when we're done. I'm like, it's fucking great. And then tomorrow.
Yeah.
Or the next day.
Yeah.
You're going to listen to that show.
Yo.
And you're going to fucking hate yourself.
Yes, you are.
I am sparing you that pain.
Yeah, yeah.
And I put both feet down on that. Like,
yeah.
Nope.
No, you don't understand.
We can drink while we're doing it.
Yeah.
Because there's a very good chance, unless we're drinking Everclear out of the fucking bottle,
that
in an hour, hour and a half,
no
one's going to be that fucked up.
Exactly. Yeah.
But
get
a little fucked up.
Uh-huh.
And then
get a little fucked up and then do it, because then you're going to be drinking on top of being drunk.
Ew.
And suddenly all of your obnoxiousness is coming out and you're
talking over each other.
Yep.
Oh,
yep.
It's just a fucking nightmare.
Yep.
So don't do that.
Don't
whatever
do that.
Whatever podcast
you're
doing.
Yeah. Sober.
Do it sober.
Yeah.
You're sober-ish.
Yeah. Yeah. Not the
Be that when you hit stop, you could still drink another.
Exactly. Yeah. Be Dio.
Yes.
Get that one beer out of the fridge.
Just,
fine. We'll have this. It's good.
Yeah. Be the inebriati. Don't be inebriated.
Exactly. Exactly. Man, imagine, what physical shape would you be in now if you jump back to sixth grade, boom.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
I don't know.
This is behind the paywall preview shit, because whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, because it's like, My relationship with alcohol is going to be very different. My relationship with food is going to be very different.
Sure.
Holy shit, this is changing a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, it would.
Being in high school, but like, guys, we're having fun, but it's like 9:30 and I kind of want to be in bed by 10 because
I got to get my
night.
Sleep. I got to recover.
Like Friday night. Sure.
Yeah.
That's cool. But can we that weirdness would be coming at oh, no, man, I got to make sure I'm eating a little better. So,
say I won't be tripping balls in the middle of blackout nowhere Mexico and wondering how I get back home. I can do without that story.
Yeah.
I really can.
I imagine one could.
I can do without
it. I imagine one could.
I can live.
All I could think is, anyone who messed with me, what can I do? What whisper campaign can I start?
It'll be like that blurb from... I see on, it's from a show, about the killer. I don't know what it's called.
Right.
And someone hurt his girlfriend, and he's saying all the things that he could do to get her back.
Uh-huh.
You're like, nothing. I'll just go, take a picture while she's sleeping. You break into her house? No, she'd never know I was there. And then, what? And she's slowly getting more concerned about what he's going to do.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, just little things. Replace her dog with another dog who's just like it. Start to move in, smaller furniture into her place over a long period of time. Eventually, she'll lose her mind. She'll kill herself.
Yeah.
Basic stuff.
basic stuff.
That kind of thing.
Yeah. Just little stuff. Nothing major.
Nothing major. That's what I would do. Yeah. Somebody fucking with me back then.
Uh-huh. Oh, God.
Yeah, it could resort to violence,
mm-hmm.
but I know other ways. Just plant drugs on you and hope you get pulled over.
Whisper campaign.
Whisper campaign.
Oh, what if you were suddenly that kid everyone thought had been jerking off in the bathroom?
Yeah.
Oh, we might be able to get that one start. Like, that devastating. We had one of those at our middle school,
and I've
never felt worse for a human being in my life.
Fuck.
Oh. Oh, that poor kid. That poor fucking kid.
That poor, poor man.
Oh, that poor fucking kid. And I can tell you where he lived. Because we'd watch him walk home.
His name was Jackson. Oh.
Yeah. Oh, Bill. Billy, in fact, he lived off Evers Road.
Here's where he lives now.
Yeah. Just when you're going up the hill towards where I used to live, the apartments that are on the left. Yeah. He lived in there. We just, because everyone's bus saw him. So not this kid didn't even get a peaceful walk home.
Oh, my God.
Because it was just busfuls of kids from those neighborhoods.
All chanting Billy Jack at him.
Not that clever.
See?
Not that clever. Good. Yeah, it would. Yeah, that was a sharp one. I'm like, who the fuck do you think we're talking about here? No, they weren't. Are
you telling me high schoolers in San Antonio in the 80s didn't figure that out? The 80s
didn't have that one? No.
I'm shocked. I'm shocked.
Yeah, so yelling at him as he's walking past El Azteca on his way home. Like, fucking poor kid. It's like, y'all are acting like he's alone in this, like, in general.
Yeah.
Y'all all need to shut up.
Yeah, just you're really celebrating how sly you are at the privacy of your own home.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
As you should.
That's the place.
Prost, you know?
maybe don't get so excited at school.
Yeah,
I could never have been that excited at school.
Middle school. Ugh. And you've driven by my middle school.
Oh, yeah.
It's a depressing place.
Yeah, it's a La Azteca now.
Yeah. It's a depressing place on top of a hill that's just like
slash bleached. Spirit Halloween.
Everything. Like, we're nearing a point where like all the American economy is going to be is different Spirit Halloween stores.
I know. And because of my the algorithm and my Instagram, it's all like, oh, Halloween goth stuff. You know, all these memes about it. I spent all this money at Spirit Halloween. Like,
right.
I'm like, have y'all been to a Spirit Halloween?
Yeah.
It's not great.
It isn't. It really, it's not.
At least the ones I've been to.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm missing out.
Yeah. They all have a temporary store feel.
Well, yeah. But they stuff isn't all that great.
It's got a temporary store feel. Yeah.
So,
Yeah. What's the point of this?
I'm still, my ass still chapped at Target and decided to just not do their Halloween stuff like they used to. That was a thing, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
But world's changing, man.
Fuck it.
World's changing. World. Can't hold on to it. Can't hold on to the past, man. So, I don't know what we're going to talk about next, but...
We will.
I'm certain it will be something. I don't know what we could do but talk about something at some point. We'll figure it out.
Of course.
Because that's what we do. Mm. But I will say... Having this patio, now that it's not ass outside.
Oh, yeah. Oh. It's livable.
Yep. Oh, when it gets down, like, when it gets down into the 60s and shit, oh, I'll be out there eating. Like, not just be cooking food on the grill, but, like, eating it out there.
When it's finally my season for pullover hoodies.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Come on!
We're almost there. We're almost there, dude.
Living this goddamn thing.
It's something else. All right, everyone.
Bye.
Bye-bye.